Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship today. Have you seen this phrase on the screen? When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, the Bible is filled with people who did just that. They turned their defeat into victory. They turned their trials into triumph. They didn't let the trials and troubles of life define them. They let God's love and God's Word define them. And so we're going to continue to study the book of James. The book of James was written to show us how to turn our trials, the difficulties of life, into triumphs. And as you know, we live in a world that is broken by sin. And because of that, we struggle in life. Our lives are filled with difficulties and problems. And God, the hard part about being Christian is God allows these trials and troubles to come our way. He uses them to test our faith, to make sure our faith is growing, and to stimulate our faith to mature in Christ. And so as we look through the book of James, we'll see that there are many tests that we will face as believers. The first one is this. Go to our next slide. The test of perseverance in suffering. And this passage in James 1, 2 to 4 is probably the theme verse that defines the book of James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The world that the Christians lived in Jesus' time when the book of James was written, is very different from the world we live in today. Especially those of us who are Christians living in the United States of America. Because here, even though we have trials, we have troubles, we have health problems, but, you know, we live in a country full of abundant food, abundant resources, and freedom. It's hard to imagine what the Christians in the early church lived like. In the New Testament world, the believers faced extreme poverty. I mean, they would go to bed hungry day after day. And they also, the Christians, faced severe persecution. They were persecuted because they believed in Jesus. And so sometimes their family would disown them and confiscate their property. They'd be left penniless. And these things, these Christians, the Jewish Christians that Paul wrote to, their faith was being tested. And so we need to understand that this is what James was writing to them about. And so in order to understand the book of James, we have to understand two key words that are part of our today's study. The first one is this, trials. The word trials in Greek is paramios. The word trials can be translated into trial, temptation, or test. It just depends on the context. And you see this word is used throughout the New Testament, and it's translated in any of these three terms. Now, when we think about trials, I think about this. Trials are external stresses. These are things that happen to us daily, weekly, monthly, physical troubles that we face. It might be a conflict with someone at work, someone we get in an argument. It may be that we ran out of money or we're short on things, material possession. Maybe it's health problems. These are physical events that cause us to worry. Sometimes trials are caused by our sins because we commit a sin and we hurt ourselves. Some of these trials and problems come from other people who sin against us. You know, they break in our home and they steal our stuff. Some trials are just because we live in a broken, imperfect world. So we get sick with cancer or we're born with diabetes or something like that. So trials can be anything like losing your job to being hit by a tornado or a hurricane. And they are external stresses. But the same word can also be translated temptations. And temptations are internal stresses. These are things that come from inside. Trials are from the outside. Temptation, the same word, from the inside. So when trials come, when problems happen, we face the inner temptation to give up on God. God, why is this happening? I've been following you, God, and now I'm having pain and problems. God, I'm going to give up. Why should I bother being a Christian? And that was the encouragement to these Jewish Christians. Don't give up. Persevere. Hold on to God. You know, Satan wants to tempt us during these times to give in to our sinful attitudes, and we yell and scream at people. Or He wants us to give in to tempt us into sinful actions, like we will lie to cover up our pain or our mistake or something like that. And so trials can be translated trial, which is an external stress, or temptation, which is interim. Next week we will talk about those temptations. Then the second key word we have to understand is this one, perseverance. The goal of growing as a Christian is to develop perseverance. The capacity to hold out and to bear up to the and face a difficulty or problem you're going through. It's also the act of waiting. Waiting and being patient for someone or something. And so the Christians were supposed to hold up on their faith. Their faith was to stay strong. They trusted in Jesus. But we're also holding out. I'm waiting for Jesus to come back. To Jesus to come back and take me to heaven. So trials and perseverance. Two key words. Now, one thing I've learned after being a pastor is many of you have been persevering. You have the ability to, you're capable of perseverance, of enduring, of being patient. I've seen many of you go through tremendous health problems and health issues and, you know, difficult times that you persevere through. You didn't lose it. You didn't lose your temper. You didn't get angry at God. And I respect you for that. Or maybe you took care of someone who was going through a difficult time or years. Maybe you persevered through school and through high school or college to get the career and degree you wanted to. So we are capable of perseverance. But God wants us to persevere in our faith. That means we grow stronger in our faith and we can patiently wait. We can endure trials while trusting in Jesus. We don't lose our faith. We don't criticize God. We don't complain. We walk with Jesus. And perseverance is the key to our Christian faith. It's a quality that God wants in every single person. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now this passage says that we will go through trials. We don't go around them. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley. I go through that valley of the shadow of death. You know, valley of the shadow of death, that image just conjures up what? You're unsure. It's dark. It has shadows. You don't know what's waiting for you. But you will go through it. But it says that you are with me. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is with me. I'm not afraid. I have faith in my Lord and Savior. He's going to walk with me with His rod and His staff to comfort me and protect me. So Jesus is our shepherd. We can persevere in those dark times. So let's talk about what this passage says about how to persevere through trials. How do we go through these trials and our faith will remain strong? How does our faith grow as we go through these? The first thing is we need a joyful attitude. Verse 2 again. Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Now that word consider is in the Greek imperative. That means it's a command. Jesus is saying, I command you to be joyful. Be joyful in times of troubles. Of course, for you and me, it makes no sense to be joyful when trouble comes or when times are difficult. Not too long ago, I got in my car and turned the key and it's dead. I mean, it's dead. That battery is dead. And I got, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so joyful. Now, is that what God is saying? We're supposed to be joyful? Not only that, you know, joy is not the normal human response to trouble. Not only that, it says you will face trials of many kinds. Like, great, yeah, just what I need, trials of many kinds. I mean, that kind of sounds depressing. They might be health problems, financial problems, family problems, relationship problems, schools, work, environmental, you know, storms and disease, but you're going to face trials of many kinds. Many people think, oh, when I become a Christian, life's going to be good. And yes, it is. But it doesn't mean you won't have problems in your life. And what God is saying here, He says you can be joyful because you know when the trial comes that God is working on you and through you. God is using that difficult time to shape your life and your character to be more like Jesus Christ. God is letting you go through this difficult time for your benefit and your blessing. And so the trials are supposed to be productive time, not a problem time. And it's essential that when we go through a difficult time, that we respond to them correctly. Now, some things we go through are minor. Hey, you know, the battery goes bad. I'm going to replace the battery. No big deal. You know, but some are big. Some are ominous. And sometimes we go through trials that just make us upset. You know, we're supposed to make lemonade when we are handed lemon, but sometimes we think like this. Look at this next slide. If life gives you lemons, throw them at somebody. You know? Isn't that how you feel? Why me? You know, why isn't this person? You know, I'm just going to get mad and start pitching lemons. You know, funny. I have a lemon tree at my house. I should have brought them and start throwing them at you. Immature believers, people who are not growing in Christ, they get angry. They get bitter. They get mad at God. They lash out at people and yell at people. Or we resort to lying or cheating or stealing to get our way or to protect our resources. See, God is saying your outlook determines outcome. When the trials and troubles come, if you're just going to start throwing lemons, that's how you're going to act. But if you realize that God is working in you, then you can face it with courage, with opportunity. Your attitude determines your actions. We can be joyful because God has a plan for you. So we need I was looking at a devotion today and it said this phrase, focus on your purpose and not your problems. Focus on your purpose, what God's plan is for you going through this difficult time. Don't just focus on your problem. You're struggling in your work. You're not happy with your job. You're not happy in your relationships. Don't focus on that problem. Ask God what He wants you to do with it. Have a joyful attitude to persevere through trials. The second one is have an understanding mind. Verse 3, because you know, notice that word, you know, you understand that testing of your faith develops perseverance. You know, that means you understand that God has a plan and purpose for what you're going through. God didn't put you in that situation, but part of life, you just fall into it. God has not abandoned you. You know, many times when we're having a hard time in life, we think, am I being punished? Why is God punishing me? No, God's not punishing you. He's getting you ready for a promotion. When you can endure, when you grow stronger. You know, I look at my Christian faith from when I was young to now, and every difficult hurdle, I taught a class, I shared my faith with people, I would grow stronger, and as long as I endured, and grew stronger to a point where I'm preaching to you. I would have never imagined that many, many years ago that God was getting me ready for better and better work. So we understand that God is allowing us to be tested for a reason. The word test means to prove or disprove the genuineness or validity of a truth. So you say, well, I'm a faithful Christian. Well, God says, let's put it to the test. Is your faith real? They say to test the genuineness of a diamond. You know, if you get a diamond, is it real or is it a fake? They say jewelers often place it in clear water. I've never tried this. I should have done this, but they put it in clear water, which causes a real diamond to sparkle with brilliance. While an imitation stone will not. It will just be very, no sparkle at all. So if you put them next to each other, you can tell, even just someone who's untrained can clearly tell the difference. See, many people say, I have faith, I believe, I'm following Jesus. But but when their faith is severely tested, will they sparkle like Jesus is in them, or will they fail the test? When hardship and disappointments come, will they handle it with grace and courage and wisdom, or will they be dead? Will they be disappointed and bitter? Is their faith living, or is it dead? Is your faith genuine or an imitation? Do you have saving faith that takes you to heaven, or non-saving faith that leaves you behind? See, we need to understand that we grow stronger through struggle. Now, how many of you, let's be honest, how many of you exercise? How many of you actually exercise? Anybody? You bunch of lazy people. Okay, a few of you. And you know, why don't we want to exercise? Because in order to grow stronger, we have to struggle, right? You have to push that muscle. You push that muscle, and it gets stronger. I still go to the gym. I drag myself to the gym, and I lift I lift weights. And I have to lift heavy weights because the stronger the struggle, the greater the struggle, the harder it is to lift. But it builds muscles. You want to see my muscles? I'll show them off after church. But you have to lift. You have to lift heavy weights. On the other hand, I don't build any muscle when I just sit in a chair and hold the remote, right? You know, you hold the remote, and that's my, I watch exercise shows for fun, but I don't do anything. You know, you don't struggle, you don't gain strength. Every time you take a step of faith in obedience to God's word, you exercise your spiritual muscles. So God says, you know, you see that person at work, go sit with them and have lunch with them and talk to them about the good news. Share the gospel with them, or maybe show them, do a good deed for them. Exercise your spiritual muscle and become stronger. So if you go and do it, you grow stronger. If you say, no, God, I don't want to, you don't grow stronger. Every time you show compassion to a person, instead of criticizing them, you're exercising your spiritual muscle. So we need to exercise. The purpose of trials and troubles is to exercise our faith. So testing works for us and not against us. We need to understand that. We need to take advantage of the opportunity of testing our faith to grow stronger in the Lord, to strengthen our spiritual character. If you have a gym membership, it does nothing for you unless you take advantage of it. So when trials and troubles come, you go through them. You walk with Jesus. You understand that God is shaping you. You exercise your faith to be like Jesus. You grow stronger. Then the third thing we need to do is a submissive will. Perseverance must finish its work. You are a work in process. God is working on you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. See, we go through that valley of the shadow of death. I often wonder why God doesn't just, you know, put me in a helicopter and fly over it. You know, God, I want to go around it. Why do I have to go through it? But as we go through that valley of the shadow of death, that is where God does His greatest work. When we're stressed, when we're struggling, where we're pushing our faith, God wants to keep working in us. We're a work in process. He wants to complete His work so we are mature and complete. Now, the word mature can also be translated perfect, but not perfect in that we're sinless, not in like physical perfection or even spiritual perfection. Perfect and mature means you are fully developed. You are mature. You're physically, emotionally. We think of maturity. We grow up. I just had my grandnephew spend a couple of days with me. He's 8 months old. He is not mature. You know, he does silly things. He's cute. It's fun when they're little. But he is not mature. God wants us to become spiritually mature. Not sinless or perfect in regard morality, but we become mature and more mature. But He also wants us to be complete. And complete carries the idea of being whole. That means we are complete in Jesus Christ. We don't need anything else. We don't need anything the world has us to offer us. We are complete in Jesus. So in order for God to complete His work, we need to submit to it. We need to allow God to do His work. You know, the grapevine produces sweet, juicy fruit because the gardener prunes it. You know, and the vine submits to pruning. After it's pruned, it grows stronger and better fruit. And so the problem with many Christians is when we go through trials and troubles, we start resisting God's word. Instead of saying, God, you know, what can I learn? God, how can I gain from this experience? We're like, God, why me? You know, God, why are you doing this to me? And God's trying to work in us, and we're kicking and we're screaming and we're crying the whole way because we don't want to go that way. Maybe your Christian life is boring. It's unexciting. But that's because you don't do God's work. You don't test your faith. You don't love people and share the gospel. Immature people are always impatient and unhappy. If you're an immature Christian and you start complaining about your Christian life, it's because you're immature and you're impatient and unhappy. Mature people are patient and joyful. So trials are supposed to work for the believer, not against him. And maybe if you're struggling in your faith right now, maybe things aren't going well, your attitude is very negative, maybe you need to have a talk with God about where your life is going. Or come and talk with me. You don't have to stay this way. Sometimes we need to help you understand. Sometimes you need to be more humble before the Lord. Now, the fourth thing we need for develop perseverance is a believing heart. We have to believe. I mean, we need to believe in Jesus. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The man who should not should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So the scripture says, you're going through a difficult time. You don't know why. Why am I struggling? Why am I hurting? Why am I stressed out? He says, ask God. You need wisdom. Ask God. And it's interesting, the phrase ask God is an imperative. It is also a command. It doesn't say, well, wonder or ask somebody else or be curious. Or it says, I command you, if you don't know what's going on in your life, you ask God. God says, ask me, I will answer. See, going through trials and troubles should enhance our prayer life. We should be talking with God more and not less. We shouldn't be leaving the church. People say, well, I'm not coming to church because I need to find myself. I need to get answers. No, no, no. You stay here. You get the answers from us and from God. Our prayer life should provoke us. Our troubles should provoke us to pray, and our prayers should ask God for wisdom and strength and guidance. Our prayer life should provoke us to seek God's Word and open God's Word in our heart. If you're not anchored in God's Word, you're going to be tossed around by the winds and the waves. You don't know what God says about things. You're going to be tossed around like the man who doubts, the man who's not sure whether he should ask God or not. Or if they ask God and they pray, God, I want an answer. But deep down inside, they only want their answer. They don't want God's answer. So you're a double-minded person. You say you want God's answer, but you know you won't obey it because you don't want to do it. And that's why your life is filled with doubt and trouble. When you start doubting God, when doubt infiltrates any relationship, it separates it. So if you start doubting God, does God really care about me? Why am I going through this? Well, the longer it remains, the farther you'll go apart. I remember at one time with my wife, I was, why does my wife love me? Why does she care about me? And I'm like, you know, my heart started filling with doubt. But fortunately, the Lord said, why are you doing that? You know, why are you purposely putting doubt in your heart? You know, I know my wife loves me and she's committed to me. But when we put doubt, when we start doubting a relationship, it drives it apart if we don't resolve it. Now, there's nothing wrong with doubt, because doubt should cause us to seek the truth, to know and to submit and to believe in each other. With spiritual maturity comes wisdom, and wisdom comes from knowing God's Word and trusting in it. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to have faith in Jesus. We don't need to believe that God is going to go with us. So we need a believing heart. And then the fifth truth that we need is we need a humble spirit. We need to be humble in order to persevere. We can't be arrogant when we persevere. Verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Isn't that interesting? If you're humble, if you're poor, if you don't have much, you ought to take pride in your high position. Your attitude, you being poor in spirit, is what God recognizes. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. You're nothing if you're trusting in your riches. Because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers a plant, its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. God is saying the rich put their wealth, their hope, and arrogance in their riches. And so they're going out, doing their thing, making money. They forget about God. They will wither. Everything here in this physical world will wither away when Christ returns. But if you're poor and you depend on God, you trust in God, you are in a good position because you're close to God. See, in the New Testament time, this is opposite of the wisdom of that time. In the New Testament time, the rich were considered favored by God. If you were a rich person, you had a big family, a big estate, people say, oh, God must be blessing you because you're a good person. While if you were poor or sick, well, you must have sinned, or your kids must have sinned, or your parents must have sinned. That's why you're that way. We remember the story of the Peter walking with Jesus, and they see a lame man or a blind man. I can't remember which one. But Jesus goes, Peter goes, Jesus, what happened to this man? Did he sin or did his parents? And Jesus says, no. He's this way because he's gonna glorify God. And you know, God heals him and God is glorified. But see, James wrote to remind us what Jesus taught, that those in humble position must realize their high position, because Jesus came to the poor in spirit. Jesus came to those who had nothing to elevate them to a high position, to elevate them to himself. That's why so many slaves in the New Testament time became Christians. All these slaves belonged to somebody, but they realized that God loved them and Jesus loved them. Jesus wanted to be their Savior and their Lord, and they trusted in Jesus. They realized that God loved them and valued them. See, our natural tendency is to put our trust in material things, you know, in our car, in our money, in our 401k, and in our house. But James says, don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to go sell anything, but to put your faith in Jesus, to use your resources to glorify God. James says, watch out, if you're pursuing material possessions, and that's all you care about, you will fade away, your wealth will fade away, and mean nothing in the second life. And so let's go to our last verse, the reward for perseverance. Why do we persevere? What's the point? Because perseverance is a key to every blessing God gives. God wants to give you every spiritual blessing. Why am I not blessed? Instead of being blessed, why am I burdened? Why am I having problems? I want to be blessed. Perseverance, faithful, enduring faith, persistent praying leads us to every blessing. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, it's interesting. The word is blessed. Remember, where do we hear blessed from? We hear it from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude. So this verse is a beatitude, a key to receiving God's blessing. If you want to be blessed, we persevere under trial. We stand that test and receive that crown. Blessed means much more than just being happy or carefree. It carries the idea of inner, profound joy and satisfaction. We know who our Lord and Savior is. It gives us great satisfaction to see what God is doing. You know, it's the same kind of satisfaction I see in my kids as they're growing up. It just gives me great joy to see them growing up well and to marrying well and being good kids. You know, it gives a richness to your life. It's nothing about money or profit, but an inner joy and satisfaction that comes from those who put their faith in Jesus completely. Patience and perseverance are the keys to God's blessings. If your life is filled with burdens instead of blessings, if you only see burdens and not blessings, you have to ask God, have I been faithful, God? God, have I been faithful? Have I been submissive or have I been arrogant? Have I been humble? Am I listening to you? Am I trusting in you? Those that persevere receive the crown of life. And the question is, what is the crown that God promises him to us who believe and love him? Now, just understand that that crown is not eternal life. Okay, James is writing to Christians already. Christians who trusted in Jesus as their Savior and Lord and received the gift of salvation. This crown is an addition to our salvation. This crown comes from what we do on earth, how we live our lives, and whether we be faithful. Now remember, the key is to be faithful, not successful. I get mixed up as a pastor. I see success as numbers. You know, how many people came to church? How many people did this? Are giving? And that's not what the Bible says. Faithfulness is more important than being successful. Look at this picture. This is the crown they're talking about. Okay, Paul has the image of the Olympic trials. And when you win a race, you are crowned. And the crown is a bunch of vines, you know? It's just a bunch of leaves and vines that are wrapped into a crown. And you know, when you see this, like, great, that's what I get for persevering as a Christian. No, it's just symbolic. Because Paul imagines Christians standing on that stage, being recognized and honored by God, that crown of glory being put on their heads. Our reward is that we have glorified God and now He is going to glorify us. Now, we don't know exactly what the crown is. We know it's not made out of gold and encrusted with jewels, but it is coming from God's riches and God's glory. Look at this verse, next verse, our last verse. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Brothers and sisters, are you faithful? Is your faith growing? Is it maturing? Is your faith standing the test of trial after trial? If we put our faith, if we're humble before God and we trust in Him, we stop worrying about things. We stop stressing about the difficult times in our lives. We let go and let God take us through that dark valley. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling in your faith or the pain and problems. Well, you need to share them with the brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to come alongside you and encourage you. You need to join a small group or start talking to some of the believers or myself. We want to pray for you and help you so you're not so stressed out. We want to help you know what it means to be a Christian. We need to understand, accept God's plan for our life. I mean, that's part of the problem. You don't understand, or you aren't believing in Jesus, or you're not being humble. See, your trials and troubles, if we're Christians, will turn into triumphs. Yeah, they're hard going through, but when we go through them, we will be triumphant. We'll go, man, that was a tough time, but man, I learned something. And that thing I learned, going through it, I can share and teach to someone else. That's a triumph, right? You can learn from your mistakes, you overcome them, then you teach someone else not to make the same mistake. Or are your trials tearing your life apart? Are your trials making you miserable? Maybe it's time to have a talk with God. Maybe it's time to have a talk with me. You don't have to live that way. Maybe you're struggling in life today, or you're lonely, or you're hurt, because you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Today I'm calling on you, if you're going through a difficult time, and you haven't really thought about God and your relationship with Him, trust in Jesus today. Invite Him into your life as your Savior and your Lord. Let Him lead you through the dark valleys of the shadow of death in life today. So let's pray. Father, we thank You that You loved us. And You love us so much that You want to grow stronger. You want us to grow up. You want us to grow up and be mature Christians and mature believers who love You and walk with You and live and enjoy the life we live, that we enjoy the difficult times too because we grow stronger. And we know, Lord, that You've blessed our lives. We don't really struggle that much in life. I know some have, but many of us have wonderful and blessed lives. If that's the case, we need to be even more joyful and grow stronger in You, that we show gratitude for all that You've given us. Father, is there someone here today who needs prayer, who needs encouragement, who needs an understanding and a humble mind, that they may know that the difficult time is difficult, but You are God and You are our Lord and Savior, and we can grow stronger, and we also have the hope of heaven in the days to come. There's someone here, Father, who needs to believe in You and simply finally say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow You today, tomorrow, all the way to heaven. Because we know that the Christian life is a better life and a better future. Father, we just praise and glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. And if I could encourage you or pray with you in any ways, please come forward. Let's stand as we sing.